Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why the Podcast, the podcast where every week me, Kate, Adrian, and Matt talk about different things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, we want to make sure you head on over to our social media pages at But Why Though PC on Twitter, facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC, and of course our Twitch channel where we stream video games and, you know, just have fun, twitch.tv/ButWhyThoughPC. And if you're feeling a little generous and want to support us a little bit more, head on over to Patreon, where you get show extras, shows a couple of days early, as well as all the fun perks that you can find at patreon.com/ButWhyThoughPC. And as always, thank you for tuning in. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. It helps other people find us. And that's all I have. So enjoy the show. And today we are giving our spoiler-filled review of Marvel's Ant-Man and the Wasp. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And, yeah, so Ant-Man and the Wasp came out on July 6th. We're recording this on July 8th, so a little bit after. And what were y'all's first impressions of the movie?
I thought it was pretty good. It's funny. I mean, I don't think it was anything outside of, like, my expectations or anything. Judging by, like, the first Ant-Man, I just expected, like, a lot of the same, you know, like, more backstory. I assumed it was going to be centered around, you know, finding the mom and everything. But I thought they just have, like, the same humor and everything, which it pretty much did. So, I was thoroughly whelmed.
Thoroughly whelmed?
Yeah. And the end stuff is just, like, you know, just give me that at the beginning, and I think I'm excited for the whole movie.
Matt?
I mean, I enjoyed it when I walked out. Thought it was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't groundbreaking of any sort. No, I mean, I that was cool. It wasn't out of the box. It wasn't anything unordinary. I mean, I didn't watch the first Ant-Man, but I mean, this one wasn't bad. They gave me a little fill-in before the movie, so I was caught up.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, thank you, Drafthouse, for doing, like, here's a breakdown of the first movie before you go in to watch the second movie, because...
Yeah, yeah. Stefani had forgotten the first movie, so we're like, all right, we'll just watch it before. And then we get there, and they're like, oh, well, I guess you could have just done this.
Yeah, but, this works, too. Yeah, I was, to copy Adrian, thoroughly whelmed. It didn't blow away expectations, didn't underwhelm me. It was like, I got everything I wanted out of it. And it's a really good sequel to the first Ant-Man movie. And I get a lot of Wasp, which makes me very happy.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's a good, I mean, I wouldn't say palate cleanser, because I don't think anyone needs a palate cleanse after Infinity War. I think you just need to accept what happened in that movie.
It's a good movie that you're not crying in.
Yeah, it's a good follow-up, like, in the, you know, in the sequence of these Marvel movies. It's definitely a good one to have, and not, like, another, like, heart-wrenching, you know, I-want-to-cry thing. So it's definitely well-placed. It does its job as intended, I think.
So I guess let's go into some numbers real quick on what it's made. So from boxofficemojo.com, because they should be sponsoring us right now. I have reached out to them. They have not emailed me back. So somebody who's listening right now should try to
come
get
on,
that
box office
for us. But so far, they've made $76 million domestically and $85 million foreign, so $161 million worldwide. That is more than what it made when it first came out from the first one. So that's a win. I mean, it's kind of like everybody expected it to do this, you know? Like, Ant-Man was never high build, and the first one, like, performed what Marvel wanted it to perform. So this is, it's what I expected number-wise. Actually, probably a little more than I expected number-wise.
I thought it would have more, actually.
Yeah. Just,
I mean, it's been, what, 3 years since the last Ant-Man, so, like, I think people, like, understand that it's underrated. Well, I thought people thought that it is underrated, because it's 161 million even meeting its budget, like its public's budget.
As of right now, I don't think so.
Yeah, so that's lower than I thought it'd be. I thought it'd be at least 200 million, you know, and then kind of just coast from there. I thought it'd have a big weekend and then just kind of coast from there, so.
Yeah. I think for me, like, because even, like, if you think about it, it's been 3 years since, like, the last one came out, but we've only seen Ant-Man in, like, Civil War since then. He's kind of just not been around. So I can kind of understand people not coming to it, especially if they didn't even bother watching the first one or like, this isn't a Marvel movie, it's a heist movie type people.
Yeah.
But I would have thought that at least with what Wonder Woman pulled, that people would be stepping up and supporting the Wasp in the same way. I've been gravely mistaken about this, according to Twitter.
Well, I also mean, it was just, they marketed the hell out of this movie. Like,
they did, and really, like, well.
Like, this movie was one, well, I'm just saying, like, this is one of those movies where, like, they put it into, like, car commercials and, like, all this other stuff. So I thought it would do, because their Wikipedia says their budget was $162 million. And that's, I don't know if that's with or without marketing, but I hope they make their money back, like, soon.
They'll be fine.
Ish.
What day did Wonder Woman come out?
I don't remember.
Well, because
they came out in March.
The only thing I'm saying is, it is interesting, I would like to look at, because of this weird week that we've all had, of July 4th was literally the middle of the week. And so depending on which way you leaned, there are a lot of people that celebrated July 4th over this past weekend.
Yeah.
Versus the other weekend, because it's kind of like not, like, in the middle, you end up getting the split divide. I don't know how July 4th weekends are for movies, so I haven't actually looked into that.
All the draft houses were basically sold out, like, all day.
Yeah.
Because we tried to go to the movies on July 4th, and we couldn't. So I think it's a big movie weekend.
I don't know if it is big. I just know it's a weird thing because it's been messing with a lot of stuff because of this whole, like, it's in the very dead middle of the week.
Yeah.
Because usually if it's like a Thursday, you're like, oh, we're going to go at the day or two after. If it's like a Monday, you do it the day before. And Wednesday, you're kind of in this whole split depending on what your work and how your schedule falls.
So they could have benefited from, like, July 4th being on a Friday.
They could have benefited from this, or they could have hurt from this. I don't really know, honestly.
Yeah.
That's why I haven't ever looked at July 4th numbers. I just know it's been a weird week for us in general, and I know from a lot of people I talked to just in their general schedule because of that holiday being in the very middle.
Yeah. I mean, I just honestly think people are still don't give Ant-Man the credit that he deserves, and definitely don't give Wasp the credit she deserves, in all honesty. I just don't think they get the play or focus as much as other superheroes, which I guess is kind of the MCU's fault, but then again, like, it's been wrapping up, like, three other trilogies, so, like, you can't really, you know, force something in there. There's a lot going on. I don't know. It was a great movie, so let's get into that before we, like, get sad over numbers. but that is as of, like, midday Sunday, so it could get more for its 4-day. I'll see how that goes.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So, Adrian, would you like to put on Luis's hat and tell a story of Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I mean, I'm no Michael Pena, who is phenomenal in this movie, by the way. Like, I wanted to have, like, more of, like, a serious role, but, like, I'm also completely okay with him just being Michael Pena.
That's it. Before this movie, I was like, I don't want Michael Pena to be the butt of the joke again. I hate that part. But then he was on screen, I was like, he plays this so well. He plays it so well.
So does he need his own solo movie?
No, he does not.
Yes, he does. with him and T.I. and the other guy just
you know what? I would watch that, though. I would watch them. Or even they, like, a start web series.
Yeah, they should start doing like Pixar does, and just, like, put, like, little shorts of them, you know, selling stuff, or at least, like, or, like, this is what they should do. They, at the beginning of every, like, Marvel movie, like, they should just have, like, Michael Pena do, like, the synopsis of everything you've missed up until that movie, and that would have been everyone so good. Would be caught up, and then people would care about Ant-Man and the Wasp, and they would be like, whoa, where's this from? And then they would go see it. It's just, give me $1 million, Marvel, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
For coming up with this great idea.
I think that's a great idea. I do want them to make Kim Giant Man, though, because Giant Man, there's a Latino Giant Man, and they could easily make Michael Peña Giant Man, but this is going into fan theory territory, so.
Yeah, he just wants a suit. He doesn't even care about the
power. Exactly!
I don't know if I can do that, Michael Peña, but I can give you a quick synopsis of the movie, because it's not a very, like, in-depth movie. You kind of get what you get out of it. So it starts off kind of in the first Ant-Man, they basically kind of just like redo the story of Hank Pym telling Hope what happened to their mom. And if you watch the first one, you know that the mom is in the quantum realm because she basically saves the day when this missile shoots over. And then we start the movie, then kind of we get into the movie with Scott Lang. And he's been under house arrest for, was it 2 or 3 years?
2 years, I think.
Yeah, 2 years after the events of Civil War, where he went over to help Captain America in Germany. And then right, like 3 days before he kind of is able to be off of house arrest, my question, did he... So Captain America shows up, right, at, like, mm-hmm. the floating, at the cell. So, like, did he break out, or did Captain America just, like, leave him there?
See, that's what I was confused about.
Because, like, now that I'm, like reading this, like, synopsis, I'm like, did he just get left there, and then Jimmy Woo, like, pardon him? Because that's really messed up if they just left him there.
I was under the assumption that they broke him out, but he turned himself in because of his daughter. That's what I was under the assumption of, at least with how the detective, like, explains everything. Like, they don't do a great job of explaining what happened. But, like, that was
Because everybody else is broken out and, like, on the run, and they just kind of left him there. Which I would hope that Captain America was like, hey, just stay here for a little bit, and then you'll seem like the good guy who didn't leave, and then you'll be good. Yeah, but it doesn't happen.
I just got really sad because I'm like, where they were just like, everybody, let's go form a new team. Not you, Scott Lang. Yeah. Not you.
You're like, who the fuck is this guy? Just sitting here. Stay there. But anyway, So he's under house arrest for 2 years. And then a few days before he's up, Hope, who is the Wasp, played by Evangeline.
Lily.
Kidnaps Scott Lang because Ant-Man has this, like, vision of the mom, and then sends Hank Pym a call. So they kidnap him, and they hate his guts. They're so angry at him. I think they're overly angry at him, in my opinion.
He kind of stole his tech and, like, abandoned their team and didn't tell any of them where he was going.
I thought he was kidnapped in Civil War, though.
No.
He was kind of kidnapped.
I didn't think he was kidnapped in Civil War.
He pops out of the van like, where are we?
Yeah, exactly.
He was not kidnapped in Civil War. And at least they don't make it seem like he was kidnapped in this movie.
I thought he was kidnapped in Civil War.
I feel like they just threw him
in the back of the van, and, like, Captain America was like, he said, like, hey, Captain America needs your help. And, like, was he supposed to say no to Captain America?
I mean, he just seems very excited to see everybody for a guy who was just kidnapped by people.
I mean, I don't know if he was just, like, low-level kidnapped.
Oh, did they really? They took it off Netflix. I was going to fast forward to that part. Stupid. Fans, let us know. Was Ant-Man kidnapped?
I just thought it was weird. I was like, well, what do you expect him to do? Like, not go?
I just remember he had, like, stuff on his head, and he was, like, knocked out, I thought. And they woke him up at the end of the van to get out. Like, oh, we're here. Let's go.
Well, I thought that was because they didn't want him to know where they were going.
That's usually what happens when you kidnap somebody.
No.
That's what happens when you kidnap.
I don't think he was kidnapped. I think Falcon knew who he was.
Yeah.
Nobody else knew who he was, so, like, nobody else, like, could trust him. So,
yeah.
Because Falcon's the only one in Ant-Man. Ant-Man and Falcon, like, end up fighting each other, and so Ant-Man's the only one, and that's why they have, like, that little, like, word stuff that, back and forth because they're the only ones. But if I'm like Cap or somebody else, I'm like, I don't know who this dude is. He has superpowers. Why are you bringing over here? Don't let him know where we are. He might tell them.
That sounds like a kidnapping to me.
It's not kidnapping.
I guess if I threw somebody in the back of a van, put something over their head, and not going to tell them where we're going.
That sounds like some weird influencing, and then they just left him there in the prison.
This is getting really sad.
But basically, Hope and Hank Pym are trying to, what do they call it? The quantum tunnel or something?
It's a quantum tunnel.
Yeah, because as Scott Lang says in the movie, they just put quantum in front of everything and then just go with it.
Which I thought was the best line that he has during the entire thing whenever he talks with them. It's like, so we're just going to put quantum in front of everything?
Yeah, because even in this... so as they're like trying to get the device to kind of finish off their big device to go in and get to get Hope's mom, they are attacked by what this Wikipedia plot summary says as a quantumly unstable masked woman... who we know as Ghost, because she also has some stuff going on, and she will also wants to like have the tunnel built so she can kind of unphase herself. It's not, I mean, it's explained, but I think it's like, I wish they would have done more with her character because she seems like a dope. She seems like a dope character that I don't think that they did enough with. I don't know how y'all felt about.
Cool and had such a good actress. Like that actress was really good.
Yeah, when she's given
like no lines really, or
yeah, like her, she's like genuinely scary. I thought like when she knocks them all out and they're all like tied up when they try to go back and steal from her again,
mm-hmm.
She delivers some chilling stuff and some compelling lines. Yeah. And her, I think you're right. I think she is too cool. Like that power is too dope. Like imagine like that fighting like a Captain America or something like that.
Yeah.
Like that'd be super cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think coming off of, like, when we talk about Ghost, coming off of Hela, or Vulture, Hela, Killmonger, and Thanos, Ghost just, like, out of all those, like, maybe four villains back, I would have been okay with her, as is, but not after I've gotten that slate of Marvel actually giving us great villains.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, four movies ago, she would have been, like... top tier Marvel villain.
Yeah.
Four movies ago.
Which, I mean, like, and it's like a minor gripe for the movie, but I would say, like, my only gripe for the movie is kind of her. It's just not a strong villain, and she could have been. She looked really freaking cool.
Yeah, when she comes in and fights Hope, it's dope. It's a dope fight scene. Like, her powers are awesome.
And it's really cool because it's also like the first and only time you really see Hope kind of like having to adjust because she's not like capable in that moment, which is real. Like, it's great to see a hero who is extremely capable kind of struggle and like show that she does need somebody else, because like she would, Ghost would killed her without Ant-Man.
Yeah, and it's minor. So. She's also biracial, which is nice.
Yeah, that's also nice, really cool.
But anyways, they get away from her as our heroes usually do in these movies. So they get away from her and they go off because now not only are they on the run from like Ghost, they're also on the run from like the FBI because the FBI wants to bring down Hope and Hank because their association with Ant-Man and then the Sokovia Accords and all this stuff. So
and Walter Goggins' character too, the black market dude.
Yeah. So yeah, he's kind of just like thrown in there too for kind of like the laugh factor.
There are like too many people to run for. I think that's the problem. Like if they had tightened up the story and just like, oh, I'm Walter Goggins, I'm going to be a scary evil dude again because I'm the scary evil dude in all these movies.
Basically.
I'm going to call the police. That's my end of involvement. And now the FBI and, like, they could have taken that out.
Yeah, but then he shows up again. It's just really weird. There's a lot of running around in this movie.
Which, I mean, it is an effective heist movie in that way.
Yeah. And you got some cool chase scenes and everything like that they show like in the trailers, which is nice. And like the Pez candy Hello Kitty thing during the chase scene with him is still pretty good and kind of works pretty well.
I just liked the I want to know if the whoever choreographed the scenes when she like puts the salt and like the salt blocks everybody off. I'm like, is that
cause oh, that seems so good.
Well, one, it was really good, but also I was like, did they do that cuz of salt, like making them salty, or like they making the reference there, like using salt. But
I think you're thinking way too
much. I am, but I thought it would be funny.
But it's also going to be a great GIF when it comes out on Twitter and stuff.
It is.
So
it really
it's going to be
is.
A good one. Throwing salt, like literally.
I'm waiting for it.
So towards the end of the movie, Hank goes into the quantum realm to go grab Janet after they kind of like quantumly located her, following her basically possessing Scott Lang, which is
a
great scene. Like, I don't know, Paul Rudd has like moves himself into like upper echelon of acting in the Marvel Universe because
you
of that scene for me.
He essentially does, what is it? What's his face? The guy
Anthony
plays,
Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, Anthony Hopkins. He essentially does the Anthony Hopkins playing Loki playing Anthony Hopkins. Or playing
yeah, exactly.
Odin. So Paul Rudd does the Michelle Pfeiffer playing Janet playing Scott playing Janet.
Yeah, basically. And that helps them give like the precise location. But because they're on the run, because they need people to like protect, you know, their giant suitcase.
Suitcase building?
Suitcase science lab. Hank goes in to go grab Janet, and then they have like the fighting between everybody going on, but they eventually get her and we go into the quantum realm and it's kind of cool. And like I don't know, do you know like what they were, Matt? Like
they're really
like
cute
they're
little.
I want to say trilobites, but they're not trilobites.
yeah,
I don't remember exactly what they call. They do mention the name in there. I remember they had a whole entire study.
Janet, explicitly says, they're cute, but they hurt you.
Because there was a giant article and study that came out of them finding them, and they were, known as, one of the cutest little organisms ever.
Yeah. They almost eat Hank. They're, giant space cow whale things.
They're adorable. They're, tiny little manatee-looking things.
Yeah, see? That's what I'm saying. When you can type in cutest animal.
I literally typed in cutest little animal in the world, and it popped up.
I told you, that's why it's a...
These adorable little animals will survive nearly any global apocalypse. Where's their name? Tardigrade.
There we go.
A tardigrade.
Yeah. Those things, yeah. So, they eventually go in and get... Hank eventually gets there and meets her, but Janet has, these quantum power things now that they don't really explain, and I'm really confused about, judging by our Wasp episode, where, she didn't have that, didn't think.
I think, and Ash should probably, you can probably ask Ash over Twitter, but I think, because if you remember from our Wasp episode, we talked about how Janet's exposure to the Pym particles means that she doesn't have to use any of Pym's tech to actually grow or shrink in size because
gotcha.
Of the exposure to it. So unlike Hank or Scott, unlike the Ant-Man, she controls that herself because she's had so much exposure to it, which also makes me question, should she get, faulty, equipment? And so, she got more exposure to it than Hank did? But anyway.
What was she eating for 30 years?
I was thinking, too.
I thought that as well, but we're not.
Where does she get the cloth from?
I wanted to know what she had makeup on.
I wanted to know how she got the cloth thing, you see her suit, what in the suit says that she has, this kind of veil cloth thing.
And
I didn't understand that.
But
and
she
the makeup,
looked
too.
Dope.
You're right.
I mean,
she
it was cool, but none
so
of it made
cool.
sense.
I don't care, because
cool.
she looked
with, like,
really
the
cool.
kind of, warglaive wing thing on her back,
yeah.
Was super cool looking. I
like
that.
She looks awesome. And I'm like, holy crap, can we get a Michelle? I wouldn't mind, getting in event, somewhere down the line. Eventually seeing Michelle Pfeiffer and Hank Pym having to suit up to help out Scott and Hope. I'd be down for that. Because Michelle Pfeiffer just looked really cool.
Man, that was the best 30 years
gorgeous.
Ever in a quantum realm. Didn't have to eat,
she
didn't
handled
have to change,
it like a
didn't have to shave,
boss.
Shower. Found cloth.
Yeah, I really don't know where the cloth came from. But anyway, they pull her out and with her new quantum powers, she heals Ava. Or Ghost, so making kind of her whole thing kind of irrelevant. She would have just waited. I guess she would have been fine. But she gets stabilized, and then Scott Lang returns home because throughout this movie, he's basically going to and from his house because he's on house arrest still because the FBI agent Wu, Jimmy Wu,
I love that dude.
I can't remember his. I'm trying to find his name because all I can think of is Lewis from
Fresh Off the Boat.
Fresh Off the Boat, Randall Park.
Yeah,
he's kind of running in between them with Randall Park, and they have, you know, a whole bunch of like quips and stuff like that, and it's good stuff. But he returns home, and he's able to thwart Wu's thing of trying to bust him, because what they do is they put his ankle tracker on an ant who kind of like runs around the house as he's like Scott Lang, and for whatever reason it works while he's like playing drums and stuff.
He mimics Scott's exact routine down to 3 hours in the bathroom.
So at the end of the movie, Ghost and Bill Foster, played by Lawrence Fishburne, go into hiding, and Pym, Lang, and Hope are harvesting quantum realm energy to continue helping Ava, and I assume to kind of like usher in like a new kind of thing of energy. I would hope so.
Yeah.
And then there's the mid-credit scene.
Yeah, and because like it also like they also mentioned the time jumping when he's going.
Yeah, which is which is kind of like waited for. I was kind of like waiting for them to say when this was placed and kind of like why he wasn't there, and now we know. Because he was in the quantum realm, and Pym, Hope, and Janet all got turned to dust.
Which, that's the other thing. I understand it, but I'm just kind of like, you set up Wasp so well, she's not going to be in Avengers 4. At least not until the very end, and it bugs me. It bugs me so much. So much.
I thought it was good. The whole my whole theater was like, whoa! I was like, oh, they did it. I didn't think they were going to do it. They introduced this character and they said, bye.
I just don't think that's
later.
I just really don't. Ugh. But, I mean, it all makes sense because at the end of it, like, at the end of Infinity War, like, you can already tell that, like, Avengers 4 is going to be to wrap up the storylines of our main Avengers. So it fits with the rest of the stuff, which makes sense.
So. I got two movies left.
Doctor Strange 2.
I know, that's one of them.
But yeah, no. One of the things that I want to talk about a little specifically is the chemistry between Evangeline Lilly and Paul Rudd is just amazing. And I think it's just because, like, Paul Rudd's chemistry with everybody in that movie is so good. Like, him, like, the way he, like, feeds off and, like, reacts to other actors is so damn perfect that I think it makes, like, the entire cast stronger for it. And it makes me really buy into Wasp and Ant-Man as a partnership, which makes me really, really happy.
Well, I mean, it was good. I was just thinking the whole idea of, like, I mean, I like the way Paul Rudd plays Scott Lang in this, but kind of if we go back to our Wasp episode, I don't really care the way Hope is.
Why?
I don't.
But Hope's not Janet. Like, do you not like that Hope is extremely capable fighter? Do you not like that Hope's a scientist? Like, what piece of Hope don't you like?
No, because... I think for what they did to her, fine, but I'm talking about, I guess, looking at the way we talked about the Wasp and the way she was, I just didn't like that they made her straight scientist. And, like, focus-driven, and, like, I just don't see, I guess, I don't buy a partnership as much.
See, I buy the partnership because you can't have two people be that logic-driven, and you can't have two people, like, the reason different partnerships work is because, like, you don't have the same personality going on. Like, you need to balance it out. Like, you need somebody to balance out Scott, because Scott is really adaptive, but he doesn't really plan. He just kind of goes with the flow and jumps with it, whereas Hope likes to have everything kind of planned out and knows what she's doing before she's going to do it. And so, like, for Scott, you need that to help with the long game, but for Hope, you also need Scott to help with that short game. And I think that that's where they really balance each other out. And I don't think, like, Hope isn't Janet. Hope is an entirely different character. And I think the way they introduced her, I think they also introduced her as a very, very capable leader.
I don't see her leading any teams, sadly. I just don't think she wants to.
So, do you...
Okay. I think she's just like Hank. Basically, she will push people away and she will want to be alone and do things her way.
And I think that's fine!
That makes you not a good leader.
I think she can be a leader. I think she can be a leader if she has to.
Yeah.
I think she can definitely be
a leader. I think she's more than capable of it. I just don't think her personality, I just think she would end up like with Hank's personality too, of just basically they're very stubborn in ways.
Yeah. And they think they, I think that her character, I think she thinks that she can do it better. It's like, why would she? Yeah.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't see her really teaming up with anybody other than Paul Rudd. Because of like their chemistry, so I'm kind of like I see like both your points. Like I think their I do think their chemistry is great, but I do agree with Matt that I don't think I don't see I would love to see like how they introduce her with, you know, like her meeting Tony Stark, like how good. That situation would go.
That would be so good.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, like I guess too, because like I also really want an A-Force movie. I think if any of the crap like. Movies that like Marvel can pull out, not crappy, but like out of anything that can get pulled out, I think an A-Force movie would be great, and I want Hope to lead it. But I guess I just was so blown away by the fact that I have an extremely capable person in front of me who's super smart and doesn't need anybody else. I was like, just put her in everything. But it does make sense that like if you put her next to some of the other women even in the Marvel universe, it's gonna be too many chiefs.
Yeah. I guess to me, I'm looking at like what we talked about. Obviously, we know this is not Janet, which is obviously kind of hard for me because I'm like, you literally just made up a character anyways because you cowards and skipped over Janet.
Okay, leave that on the sideline.
But anyways, I guess I'm thinking of like the actual Wasp and Janet personality, because at least the way we talked about, she had charisma and had everything else in this like leadership, like we talked about reality TV show and then like going to March and everything. And she wasn't this straight like scientist driven, like logical person. And it was like, I guess we kind of like, the way we talked about, she mirrored Captain America way more than she mirrored.
But you also have to see who her partner was, because Hank was that at that time. But Scott Lang and the Scott Lang of the comics, like, he's never like that. Scott is a likable dude. And so, like, if you
introduce... But now they've turned her into Hank.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, though. But you
pretty much didn't get along with anybody.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, you need to have that to offset it, though. Like, you can't have both of them doing that.
Well, that's fine for them, too. But I'm talking about if we introduce anybody else, I don't see it working.
No, no. I could buy that. I'm just saying, did you hate the Wasp, then?
No.
Well, you're sounding like you didn't like her.
I didn't... How did I say it? I did not say I didn't like her. I said I didn't care for the way, like, her being that way, comparing to what we talked about last week. That's all I said. I have no problem with the Wasp, and I enjoyed her in the movie, but I said if I preferred, I'd rather have the character that we talked about in her long lost, in her history of, like, that
so
type of personality.
It just goes back to you just wanting Hank and Janet.
Well, I just think I would rather just have the Wasp or even Hope or whatever with that personality versus, I guess, a Janet personality. Because even Janet doesn't even seem like...
Well, no, yeah, Janet's not Janet. But, like, I think ultimately, like, you just can't have that personality with Scott because that's Scott's personality. Like, Scott is extremely charismatic, extremely talkative. Like, I feel like you could put Scott Lang in a reality TV show and he could host it. Like, that's the type of personality that he has. So, like, you need to balance that out. So I think it works perfectly... Because Scott Lang is our Ant-Man, and that's just how it is.
Cool.
So.
I liked the daughter a lot. Casey Lang.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's supposed to be a superhero, too.
Oh, is she? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's called Stinger.
Ooh, I would love to see her sing. Especially, well, I think, like, the biggest moment was when she was like, you need a partner. Because, like, they put that part in, like, the, you know, the previews or and stuff. But she was like, oh, no, me. Like, come on, man. It's not like I'm here. Which I think is cute. That was a very cute scene and kind of shows, like, that she has really great qualities from Scott, you know, even though he's been, like, locked up for a little bit and stuff.
I mean, we wouldn't really know just because our movie theater cut out. And we don't know if we lost pieces of the movie.
It cut out right after he said, like, you're the world's greatest grandma. And then it cut out. And then it went back to them, like, almost being broke out of prison. Or the police station. I'm assuming we only missed maybe, like, 30 seconds. But I don't know if there was any other lines.
We got free tickets to go back. But it's also just kind of like, there's... I was like, yeah, right.
That whole moment
was
pretty much ruined because the whole thing cut out. It was like, oh!
You guys cut it at world's greatest grandma? Yeah, y'all miss a good chunk of the movie, I think.
Because like,
World's Greatest Grandma is pretty early on.
Well, yeah, back up after, but like that's where it cut, and then there's a gap.
Yeah, and I'm saying like World's Greatest Grandma to like when they're in jail or whatever, or like when that's like still like that's like a big.
Oh, like I said, I assumed we missed like a minute.
That makes sense.
It looked like we missed about a minute.
We gotta go see it again now.
Yeah, just gotta go see it again. If anything, just to watch the ant play the drums.
Oh, he's adorable. Adrian, what did you think about Hope's personality?
I liked her person. I mean, it's kind of like the same for the first one, right? She's kind of like, she's kind of like Hank. Yeah, that's given her childhood of like him kind of like not talking to her while she was seven and her mom died. Like, I mean, I don't think it's a bad personality or anything. I think she's dope. She's a dope fighter. But I don't think that she would lead an A-Force movie. As much as like an A-Force movie would be super dope, just because all those characters like on screen would be awesome. And give us a She-Hulk already as well.
Yes. I will say that I don't want an A-Force movie without a She-Hulk.
I'm still laughing at the A-Force movie because everybody thinks Okoye is going to leave Wakanda.
She ain't ever leaving Wakanda.
That's what's hilarious when I see all those photos.
She's like, married to that country. She will never leave that country. She's going to be probably,
she ain't doing shit with A-Force. She ain't leaving that country. Y'all are stupid.
Yeah. No. She almost stabbed her husband.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
She's gonna stab her husband over the country. But
no,
I'm gonna go.
I do want to see Wasp and Black Widow fight. I just want to see them fight each other.
I think Black Widow loses.
I think she does too. But I still want to see it. I think it would be really good.
Yeah, I think Black Widow loses there.
Yeah.
I think if they fight hand to hand, like without.
I think she has a better chance suit. if they fight hand to hand.
Yeah, yeah. If they fight hand to hand, I think Black Widow takes it. But just I don't think. She can handle her going big and small and flying around and all that stuff.
Which, I will say this, because I know Matt, what was the sound effect that Wasp makes?
Pew pew?
Yeah. They made that so much better, and none of it was pew pew. I think she only used the blasters when she was full-sized.
Yeah, I was thinking that. She didn't really, like, pew pew anybody in the neck, which is probably a good thing. Because I was thinking about it the whole time, I was like, she's going to pew pew somebody in the neck. Like, as a distraction, just like Matt said, and it's going to come off terrible, and I'm going to laugh because of what Matt said.
But it happens, so go okay. Watch it. That's exactly what happens. You can YouTube it.
God. I actually did YouTube some of the Earth's Mightiest Heroes scenes, and it's like, oh, what is happening to me?
I'm telling you, it's just like gnats are around me. That's all it is. I'm not being hurt. I'm just being annoyed.
I do think that after all the disservice that's been done to the Wasp as a character, I think Hope really kind of, like, makes it known that she's important, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, no. She brings, like, this Hope, like, brings a cool character for the Wasp. I think that I'm just ruined because of Ash's passion for the Janet Van Dyne Wasp, like, in the comics.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what we were talking about. Like, Kate's over saying I like don't like the Wasp. Like, no, I enjoyed what I saw and I enjoyed her. But like, if I had to go choose for what we talked about last week or this, I would take what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like I didn't like it. It was just I would prefer the. I want my super fashion, superpower.
Yeah. I also think too, like, listeners, you haven't listened to a Wasp episode, go listen to that. Like, essentially, like, her personality is Scott Lang minus a lot of the humor, but, like, just, like, crafty, ingenuitive, like, not necessarily.
I guess I got her personality like, more as, like, Captain America, the way we talked about it.
No.
Not necessarily, like, as in the.
Like, Captain America is more stoic. Like, I would say she's closer to Scott in that she's emotive. But she's also strategic, crafty, and ingenuitive. But I think Cap is too, like, you know, straight-laced for Janet.
I guess it depends on, at this point, we're blending all these characters together. That's hard to see what we're saying. Because I don't know if you can say, considering Captain America is still a high-priority fugitive at this point, I don't know how straight-laced we can go.
Yeah. He's a war criminal.
Well, he does say, I'm done asking for permission in Infinity War. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I also guess, like, this is where we just go back to the MCU has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah. It's pretty much where I'm at.
Yeah. I don't know. I've just been a little sad not seeing as much love for the Wasp on Twitter and stuff as, like, I saw for other people, especially because she's the first build female superhero. But I did tweet out, I was like, in the in a world where we tweet out about wanting solo movies for every supporting character, out of everybody who has ever been a side character in a Marvel movie, I think the Wasp deserves that spotlight. And I love Gamora. Like, I think the Wasp kind of, like, overshone Gamora for me here.
I'm going to disagree. I think I'd want Gamora over Wasp. I think I'd want a Wasp movie if she was like what we talked about in our episode. But I think she's, like, just too stringent and, like, straightforward for me to, like, buy a solo movie without having somebody else there to like, bounce off of.
Which I also think is kind of the...
Which is why I think Ant-Man and the Wasp work so well. So if they did like, a third movie, I would love for them to be together again. And you can call it the Wasp and Ant-Man, or like, I don't think that matters. Yeah. But, like, having her with Scott Lang, I think, is where they built this character to be, if that makes sense.
No, I think it makes sense. I think it's also, like, another reason why I don't like it is because I think at this point we're trying to... Literally all the introduced characters are really trying to fit in this prototypical build.
Yeah, I could see
and
that.
And so it's kind of like, I was hoping we were going to get, like, the old Wasp of, like, super fashion, like, as we talked with Ash, with the, I guess, like, I want to show off my fashion sense and show off all this other stuff versus, oh, it's a new female character. We're definitely going to make her a scientist. We're definitely going to make her very smart. We're going to definitely do this. And at this point, it's literally, that's all we've introduced over and over again.
Well, I don't think Wanda's like that, like, at all. Like, I think Wanda's the farthest from that. But Wanda's, like, super emo and emotional, and I don't like... I love Wanda, because she's really
Yeah, well,
strong,
she would... Yeah, exactly.
But
and
she's completely
she wouldn't...
different than the other
ones. Like I said, I just don't think... I think all of our new introduced characters have all been at least the same type of build.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so. I don't think so. Like, I don't think we have a whole bunch of, like, scientist women walking around.
I guess it's not just even... I don't know. I guess it just seemed the way they portray them all, they all seem the same.
Well, I don't think they're all, like, the same, but I think they are the same in the fact that, like, they're all kind of, not, like, one note, but they're just not very dynamic, and yeah. I don't know if that's because of, like, how they're presented to us, like, in the movies, and, like, if that's, like, a writing issue. Gamora is still the most interesting, I think, because we know more about her. I think that's really what it really comes down to.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Wasp kind of only has, like, well, her, you know, her dad was an asshole and, like, didn't, like, love her enough. And then she kind of, like, built herself to be, you know, this dope, badass scientist. And that's all we kind of really know. That's because that's all we really get in Ant-Man and kind of all we really get in this. But with Gamora, we have, like, you know, the Thanos stuff.
Her dad was an asshole, and she built herself up to then hate him.
To hate him, and then she did something about it. And she, like, had, like, all this stuff with, like, Ronan and, like, all this. Like, there's, like, more stuff there, I think. I don't want a Gamora movie. I'm just saying, like, of all the ones that you mentioned, she's the one who sounds the most interesting.
I guess
but she also kind of just get thrown off of, like, a cliff, too, so I don't know.
No, I guess for me, too, like, I think the reason, like, I guess I agree with Adrian, like, the reason they seem, like, that way is we don't have a lot of them, really. But I don't think, like, I think the most, like, fleshed out, I guess other than Gamora, is the Wasp. Like, she has a career, or she had a career. She's really smart. She taught herself how to fight. Like, she taught herself. Like, she made herself. She didn't get taken by a government experiment. Like, Hank, like, all of the things she did, and you get this in the first Ant-Man movie, everything that she is in spite of Hank and not, like, with his help. Like, he did everything that he didn't want. She did everything that he didn't want her to do. And, like, having seen that context from the first Ant-Man movie, seeing her in this one, it's kind of, like, getting to see her stand on by herself without that. Like, without somebody holding her back, which in the first Ant-Man movie, it is her dad holding her back, like, the entire time, and her having to train somebody who she knows, like, she could just put that suit on and take care of it, but her dad won't let her, and so she has to make him capable. And so to actually see her step up in this movie and get to, like, actually shine, like, that, like, I don't think that she's like a lot of the other characters. I think all the male characters that aren't, like... Bruce or Tony have that same, like, we smash things and fight real good, but I think that's just these are action movies.
I mean, I guess it's just like what I felt like from the other characters of, like, we just fight real good and we do this,
and that's how all the dude characters are too.
I mean, I guess
that's why all the dude characters don't get movies anymore. It's the reason why we don't have a Hulk movie.
Literally, but I mean, I guess it's, to me, we were talking about, because as I'm trying to clear my thought of, like, I guess we look at all of the characters as a whole. They're all the same storyline of go. We have basically Tony goes in there, Doctor Strange follows in there, which Bruce kind of follows in that same thing. Which, even though I think Peter's stupid at this point, but he follows supposedly in that same thing. And then her, she falls in that same thing. But then with Shuri was in that same boat. We all
there's just a lot of scientists.
Yeah, we just all end up going with this, basically the gen. I guess we had a character with a background history of being something other than super smart, and then had brought something else to the table that they could have done with, and they basically went the same route as majority of the other main characters we have.
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense if you, when you put it like that with like all of the main characters. Yeah, she does kind of fall into like the same trappings of the other guys.
Are there more genius characters than not genius characters at this point?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. It's kind of weird.
I mean, it's good per se because you do want smart characters, but it is interesting. They do make a lot of being dumb Scott decisions Lames. For being smart characters.
Yeah, that's easy. Kind of, I mean, they do dumb stuff. It like makes the dumb stuff worse, given that they're like 12 PhDs and stuff. All I'm hearing from you, Kate, is that you want a Gamora Wasp buddy cop movie where they, you know, just go live their lives together.
I'd be so happy with that.
They like fly off the cliff together? I mean, is it like what's the movie?
No. Thelma and Louise.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because the Wasp would throw a shrinky thing at her and then she would carry her away and save her.
Yeah.
No,
throw
like,
a big thing at her and have a giant Gamora fight Thanos.
Oh, that would be dope. No, I mean, like, I don't know. I just really like the Wasp. I think overall, and I think one of the reasons why I'm talking to her a lot is I think that this was the director was saying that he sees this more as like a first female led movie for Marvel, and I think she I do think that she really shone more in this movie than other pieces, but I think it's because it was her story and her finding her mom, her kidnapping Scott, and Scott just like, guys, I just want to go home. I have a daughter. I don't want
like two more days of house arrest. Leave me alone.
I don't want to go to prison for the rest of my life.
You don't even like me. I've been kidnapped 4 times. Because he got kidnapped a whole bunch in the first movie, too.
But no, as much as it is that, I think it is well of, like you said, their chemistry does so well that, like, whether it is... I think they're fine just having both of them in the same movie.
Yeah.
Because their chemistry works so well together.
Yeah. No, I guess, like, the more I talk about it, the more I kind of see them like a Hulk and a Thor. I don't ever want to see them in movies, like, without at least somebody who could play that other role.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like
I think it's just where we're at this point. Like I don't want anyone with solo movies.
Honestly,
really,
yeah, that's probably
to be honest.
Too, well, I mean, I think the ensemble movies have just been way stronger than the solo movies at this point.
They just really have.
Well,
they
there's only so much you can do with a solo movie.
Yeah, an origin, and then that's it.
Basically. Because even like the solo movies like Black Panther, I would still argue is a pretty
large ensemble movie. Yeah.
Which kind
of Homecoming, you still have a lot of Tony Stark in it, which kind of helps it a bunch, and then you have the villain just being amazing. Like, but that's all you kind of really need for that. Like, I don't think we need any more solo stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just give me team ups. You're at what, like 18, 19 movies, 20 movies. Yeah.
And
we don't need no more intros.
Ben, I think you have so many characters at this point. There's no point to. I guess if we go back to logistics, if you're only getting 4 movies, there's no point to have a solo movie and leave out one of your 20-something characters when you might as well throw 3 or 4 of them in there, and so you can just spread out for everybody.
Yeah. And then you can get more people into... You can fill more people in the seats if you build more characters.
I don't think people realize that. They keep talking about we just need all these movies. I don't think people can realize there's only going to be maybe 4 Marvel movies a year, and 2 of them are probably going to be a contingency or sequel of some sort. So you're realistically only looking at maybe 2-1 extents out per year.
Yeah.
You got to be very selective what you can do.
Yeah. Because, I mean, even Captain Marvel, like, they're introducing, like, they're, like, the character, we don't know much, but, like, the characters they've casted really fill up to be an ensemble because it looks like they may have Monica Rambeau. So, and she's also a superhero. So, like, it looks like that's where they're going.
But we're also bringing back in,
Shield. Yeah.
Which I know everybody.
Yeah. I mean, and that one's fine because it's also, like, in a different timeline. I'm talking about like present day. Like, I just can't see, like, why would any of these people be by themselves given unless like there's like some catastrophe, like where Tony's like chilling on a planet by himself. Like, it's hard to say, like, oh, well, why isn't the Guardians of the Galaxy together?
Oh,
in,
you're
like,
struggling here? Why don't you just call your friend the Hulk to come
exactly
here and help
that's what
you?
I'm saying. Like, unless you're in the quantum realm or on another planet or another timeline, like, I don't.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, even in comics, you have them overlapping each other all the time. Like, they're never truly by themselves, even in their solos. Because, like, that's a world, right? That's a world building. Yeah. It's a world where they can call each other up on the phone. Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
Okay. I guess we should talk about Scott. He's built
well,
on this
I mean,
movie
I guess,
too.
I mean, I don't know how much I want to talk about Scott. We've been for a while. I mean, I guess to me, I'd rather talk about, like, I did not care for Ghost at all.
Yeah, no, I think we kind of touched on it. I thought Ghost was the weakest part of the movie, personally. And I guess kind of, like, when you map it out, like we did a little bit, like, there were so many moving parts to the antagonist, like, as an antagonist group for the story, that I don't know that that's necessarily, like, the character's fault so much as it being muddled down with other things.
So she came in, and I thought her first presence was great. And I thought, obviously, like Adrian said, that fight, the first fight scene, it was cool and everything else. But after that, I was like, you could probably literally cut her out of this movie, and it probably wouldn't make much difference.
Yeah. Well, I think that's my problem with her as a villain, and then the entire, like,
well,
people
that,
chasing
her. I guess
plot,
it was one of those.
You can cut out any one of those.
That's what I'm
parts.
Saying. You could cut out any one of them, but then it was kind of like, at least you had the FBI and whatnot tracking all of them or whatnot.
Yeah.
That versus you had just basically her just trying to, like, do something on her own.
Yeah.
And I guess it was like, out of all of the things, you had an entire organization, an entire crime lab, or you had like one person.
Yeah.
She didn't do a bad, just when we saw her, I just didn't think it was, just
I
seemed like you could cut, like you said, probably cut any one of those parts out and it wouldn't have really mattered so much to the movie. Like the FBI, I guess I thought was more needed.
Yeah, I think
because,
the FBI is
because you
needed.
Had the Scott part with there, like coming back and forth, which obviously brought in the other part versus her. Like I said, I felt like if you cut her out, it wouldn't have made that much of a difference to the movie.
Yeah. Adrian?
Yeah, I mean, I said at the beginning, I mean, she's cool, but they just don't do enough because they have too much other stuff going on. I personally think that the movie's too long, to be honest. I don't think this movie needs to be 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it kind of falls into like that realm that we've talked about multiple times. I think if you would have done this movie like an hour and 45 and cut off some of the other, you know, chase stuff, I think the movie would have been better. And you could have focused more on why we should care about Ava. Yeah.
That's another thing. Like, I guess throughout the whole movie, like, I just came and I was like, oh, you're just kind of becoming more and more annoying.
Yeah.
And then I guess the whole point, we were supposed to, like, care for her, which I got, but then we realized she's literally just a murderer the whole time.
Yeah. She wants to go murder Cassie. Or Casey. Like,
she wants to literally go kill some kids just so she can live. And I'm kind of like, do we really need to make sure you live? I'm not saying you got it fair, because obviously you were just into being an experiment, but, like, you didn't, I don't know, you didn't seem to make me want to care about you that much.
Yeah. It was, like, Bucky-esque in that, like, they weaponized you and made you something that you didn't choose to be, but then at the point where Lawrence Fishburne has, like, saved her, now she's choosing to go threaten to kill a kid. So I'm just kind of like,
that would have made it more compelling for me, to be honest, if she would have went after him and then they had to, like, fight her off trying to steal the kid. That would have been, I would have liked that more, to be honest.
Rather than the Walter Goggins stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think if they had just cut him off, like, had him just be in the movie to call the cops on them, that first initial fight where he witnesses Hope and her, and then not shown up,
Well, I will say this. I mean, I could probably do that, except for the fact that, A, we lose the Louise part.
Oh, yeah,
which is probably
right.
One of the best parts of the entire movie with the true serum. And then we also...
Well, he calls the cops after that scene. So you still have that scene.
I guess that's true. I guess also because I do enjoy the Pez dispenser car chase.
That car chase was really good. And I also like Louise...
Which sucks because, like, besides that, they're not good, but those are two actually really good moments in the movie, and we kind of need those. Whereas
that's
I could
true.
Cut out Ghost, and I don't really... Besides the first fight scene, I really don't lose
much.
Well,
she doesn't really have an epic... Another epic
fight scene
after that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She doesn't have anything compared to, like, the other part. So if I have to cut out the weakest link, it would be that part over.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because then you don't get the Wasp... doing the, like, in and out of the car windows and kicking some ass, because that was really cool.
Yeah, so you lose all of that if you cut out that part versus we only lose the first fight scene, which is still good, but besides that, and then you don't miss her being whiny to
I also think, too, like, I think it may have been better if they didn't have Lawrence Fishburne in it, actually.
I actually liked his character,
Well,
though.
No, I loved his character, but I'm saying, like, if you're trying to, like, make her a stronger villain, because she's billed as the villain, like, on all the posters and all that stuff, if you're trying to make her better, I think Lawrence Fishburne, Bill Foster, was so much better and had more lines than her that I cared more about him and his fight with Hank than I did about Ava getting
stuff. Well, is that also a point because Lawrence Fishburne probably a better actor?
Well, yes.
This is another one of those, like, oh, she happened to be, like, the person she was partnered with happened to be better than she was.
Well, but the thing is, though, is, like, I actually think the lines, like, Adrian kind of said it, too. Like, some of the lines that she delivers are pretty chilling. Like, she's not a bad actress. I didn't think
she was bad. She's we're talking about, like, comparing.
I don't think her script is nearly as, like, hefty as Lawrence Fishburne's was, which is a mistake when it she's
which is
kind
of like I said, like, with as far as we can cut her out, is also one of those, like, if you can cut somebody out, there's also the opposite of point of that she looked like she was thrown in.
Yeah, it sucks though, because I really like her and I really love her character design. Like, her suit is amazing. Like,
her suit and everything, she looked really cool. It was just kind of one of those, by the end, I was just like, I don't really care what happened to you.
Yeah, it was just a weak villain. It was a weak villain that's, like, great for, like, Phase 2 Marvel. Like, it would have been really great for Phase 2. Just not at this point. There's too many, like, the rogues that we have, she can't compare with them. Unfortunately. Because I think she looks really cool.
Like, I thought Randall Park was a better villain than she was in this movie.
Randall Park's just so good, though. Are you asking me out for dinner? Do you want to go get dinner?
Don't you call Randall Park a villain? He's perfect.
He's the purest of the pure. That's pretty much it. That's everything. I mean, we didn't talk a lot about Scott. I mean, I don't know what you guys felt.
I just felt I got what I expected from Paul Rudd.
Being amazingly Paul Rudd.
Yeah, no, I think we've talked plenty about Paul Rudd. About Scott Lang, to be honest, because he, and like what you said at the very beginning, he interacts with all the characters that, like, you can't talk about any of the characters in the movie without talking about Scott Lang. So I think we've talked about him enough, I think, personally.
He's just a tree that holds all the branches together. This Jim.
Accurate.
I also think my favorite scene of him as Giant Man is him using the back of the truck as, like, a skateboard to, like, get around. Those scenes are good. And Luis, like, picking, like, the hottest of hot rod toy cars was also really good.
All good.
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess favorite scenes, and then we'll rate it?
First Wasp ghost fight scene, I think, is what jumps out to me automatically.
Okay, so not my favorite scene for anything going on, but I do like when they're in Quantum Realm, between the silence and the mixtures of colors, and just the way they did it and portrayed it, I thought it looked actually really cool.
It was really pretty. I got my cute little tardigrade sea cows.
But no, I think, I mean, obviously, probably not my best fight scene, but I really enjoyed that scene, just because I thought it looked really well done.
I think my favorite scene is honestly those car chases, just because I love car fight scenes. That's my favorite part of any action movie is car fight scenes. When people fight in cars, I just think they're really cool. So that chase sequence through the Bay Area is probably my favorite. Also, side note, I feel like they redeemed Hank Pym. I feel like now if you come into the MCU, you're not going to come into Hank Pym and think, oh, that's the dude that beat his wife. You're going to think, that's a dude who loved his wife so much that he risked his life to go into the quantum realm.
I think they did a great job with Hank. I was actually happy the way they did Hank and Michael Douglas.
Yeah, I really loved it. So,
It's one thing to have that storyline. It's another one if they're just going to keep beating the whole storyline to basically just kill your whole character.
Yeah. I think right now, I think anybody, any kid who goes to this movie, like, they're not going to think about Hank Pym that way. And I think that's what matters.
I agree.
Okay, so the movie right now is rated at a 70% on Metascore, on Metacritic. 70% on Metacritic. It is a 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which is actually higher than Infinity War.
Really?
Look it up.
83, yeah, Infinity War is an 83. Yep. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, what would you guys... and IMDb has it at a 7.7. Anyway, what would you rate it, Adrian?
I'm fine at about, like, compared to the other movies, I think I'm fine with it with a 7 out of 10 for me. It's not amazing. Like, if it pops up on Netflix, I'll probably watch it again, but I'm not going to go to the theater and watch this again, I don't think. But it's what I expected, so I'm good with 7 out of 10. I think that's a proper one. I think 8, like, I think higher than Infinity War is too much, I think. Higher than Deadpool is also too much.
I gave those 2 10s, so I'm going to put this in at an 8.5 for me. On rewatchability, mostly. And just, like, really, like, getting The Wasp, man. I gotta rate it really high because of her. But I wouldn't give it anywhere close to perfect because that the villain, like the villain stuff, really kills it. Especially because Marvel had been knocking him out of the park. So that kind of really sucks to see. But yeah, 8.5. Wasp roundhouse kicking bad dudes in the face and then going small and then punching somebody going big. Out of 10.
How long did you have that saved for?
A little bit.
I'd probably go with you probably about 8.5. Obviously, I think Deadpool, I enjoy Deadpool way more than this. Infinity War, obviously better. And much as the villain was probably a throwaway, I think at least the pacing was so fast that like it didn't have to like rely on a villain, it seemed like.
Yeah.
You didn't need like a build up to a big bad like scene like with the other two, whereas this one the pacing was so fast, which I mean it depends on whether you like it or not, but no, I mean I guess as far as what 8.5, I guess to me it's on par with like, I don't know, I guess out of the Marvel movies we had come out, what do we have come out this year?
Black Panther, Infinity War,
and then I guess there's Deadpool and whatnot. I guess I put it right there with Black Panther. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that sounds good.
I think just because I think the Wasp shines more in this movie than T'Challa did in his own movie, and it still kind of bugs me the more I've, like, rewatched and seen of it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, I think that sounds good. Also, it does benefit from having that heist pacing. Like, that really fast moving through things pacing.
That's the only thing, like, as much as I didn't really care for the villain, it didn't bother me as much just because I knew the pacing in general was so fast that we didn't have to rely so much on a villain. It was more of a time aspect. Time was probably your villain more than anything.
And it only took place over 3 days, too. As always, you can find us at ButWhyThePC on Twitter. And make sure wherever you're listening to this that you rate, review, and subscribe. And we just completely redid our website. So go check that out, ButWhyThePodcast.com. And you can find me at OhMyMythRandier on Twitter. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93.
Matt?
You can find me at XCon looking to find some better security.